Well, Shogov Shan has Dennis Sweeney as Carrigart, a goose, but Shan the Honey and the Dunavanish. Dennis, you were brought up in Carrigart.
Yeah.
And what was the place called, Dennis?
Called Tirlahan.
Tirlahan, yeah.
Flat country.
Yeah.
A Carrigart on the northward side.
Right.
With a half, well, 3/4 mile out the road from Carrigart.
There was no Gaelic spoken, was there, than Dennis? And
not in the house, because we speak Irish all right, but it never was spoken.
Yeah.
My grandfather and them could speak Irish, and father could speak Irish.
But was one of your parents English speaking, or what was the reason?
Well, my mother wouldn't, she wouldn't have any Irish.
Where was she from, Dennis?
Oh, just she was next door neighbour.
Right.
The two bits of land went alongside one another.
So she was English speaking?
Aye.
Yeah. Tell me about your youth growing up, Dennis. Was it farming country you were in?
Well, it would be a farming. Both the planted potatoes and like a corn or oats, and you know, a couple of cattle, a couple of cows and calves. That's the way it went on at that time.
Yeah, all farming.
Well, my father, he worked with the county council. He was a ganger with the county council.
All right.
For a number of years.
So you had some earning coming in? You know.
Well, the his wages were coming in that,
yeah,
at that time.
And how many were in your family, Dennis?
Well, I have two brothers.
And did they leave the country or did they work locally? Or?
Oh, no, there's one of them, and he's in Kilmacrenan, and he used to work for the Department of Agriculture. He was sort of an official with the Department of Agriculture, field supervisor or something, mm-hmm. called the job. He was at looking after the cattle grants and that, sheep subsidies and all.
Right. So you got a good education, or he did anyway?
Well, he had just a national school education, then he applied for it. He went into a training college down in Ballyhays in County Cavan.
Mm-hmm.
Way back. 1959 or something, he went away.
Right.
So he's retired now too. Got another brother down in Kildare. He's a teacher, or he was a teacher. He's retired. He's over the 70 mark now too.
Right.
And his son, he's a consultant down in a hospital down in Cork. He's a consultant neurologist. University College Hospital.
So in your own case, Dennis, you didn't go for education, you went just to...
No, I went to the Technical at the Kenny for a while.
After leaving National
School? After leaving National School in 1947, from 47, I suppose, 48.
So you started to learn woodwork, or?
Well, it was going on just the courses of woodwork and drawing and...
Mechanical drawing and, yeah.
Well, not so much mechanical, just the plans for houses and things.
Right. You know. So you learned a lot from it, Dennis?
Learned a bit, anyway.
Well, it prepared you for for your work in life. You took on construction from the rest of your life, didn't you? That was your earning.
Well, it ended up was a bit of a help, all right.
Yeah.
So then I went to work then with a man in the Cranford area. He was working at buildings and... Well, there wasn't so much new houses going on at that time. It was only very odd. It was more or less kind of repairing or renovating houses, you know. That'd be 1950 or thereabouts.
Maybe adding a room, like a bathroom or kitchen.
Or plastering, or but maybe re-roofing or something like that, you know.
What was the contractor's name, Dennis?
It was McGrady. McCready, they call him up there. It was Johnny McCready. I was dead long ago. So I spent a couple of years with him. We built the Cool Chapel.
The which chapel?
The Cool Chapel.
And?
Up in the Cool, it's up above Cranford.
All right.
So just a small chapel that's up there, built in 1853. So then, we were going to built a chapel over in Fanna then. So, but I didn't, we had crossing the boat and all that, so that was too awkward. And I went to work with up at the chapels up there at Gagne.
Right.
So, I was at the building of that as well.
Gee.
1854.
So you worked in three chapels, Dennis?
Hmm?
You worked on three of them, three of the chapels, see?
And two.
Two.
Two. Well, I suppose I worked for an odd time at that chapel in Carrigart as well, the main one there. Mm-hmm. We were up on the roof on it for a few times. But, and spent most of the time then building, you know, the single houses, country cottages, and
yeah.
Out through the country then with another man over from over the Chrysler Road there, yet again.
So the new houses had started then, Dennis?
Single houses, the council cottages.
Life was improving a wee bit.
Life was improving.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it was a step up anyway.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing in a way, because the people were still living in the area, whereas these other housing estates, you're taking the people out of the countryside and put them into sort of ghettos.
Yeah, I get the idea, yeah.
You know, the single house to the country is
much better.
Much better.
Far better.
Yeah.
So the work took you right round a lot of the county, Dennis, like? Or did you work just around Crease, like Carrigart?
Well, mostly around Crease and Carrigart. Well, I worked over a few days in Palcarra, over at the barracks in Palcarra.
You worked there?
Aye. Doing maintenance on the roof to a couple of buildings right at the back. I don't know whether they built a new barracks or anything in Palcarra.
They did, yeah.
Well, this was the old one.
But they renovated the old one as well.
The phones were going automatic at the time, and they were working the whatever they were calling them, the aircom up, PNT or whatever they were at the time. They were working down behind the press, so they were fixing it up then to make it look like something. Few old buildings at the back to re-roof them. So I spent a few days there.
Was it mostly, when you mentioned the re-roofing, was it mostly woodwork you were interested in, Dennis, or did you do all the...
Mostly block building I was doing, but with roofing as well.
But you could turn your hand to any of it, like to all of it, like? There's no problem turning to woodworker.
Oh, not really. Was just.
You just picked it all. You picked it up just as you went along.
Aye. Well, everything is evolving anyway. You see, the building trade is always coming up with new ideas. You know.
Mm.
One man gets an idea, somebody else gets another idea.
But it's changed so much since you started, then.
Oh, it's changed a lot since.
My God.
We were sort of pioneers, just.
No, but even the roofing of the house is like it's changed. Like, you know, they're putting thicker joists in and everything, like, and insulating houses and.
Aye.
Whereas there was no insulation.
Well, no insulation in the beginning. No.
Just the
even in the very beginning, there were no cavity walls.
There wasn't.
No, it was just a solid block wall. When they started building after the Second World War.
Do you mean that the block lying on the flat? Like?
Aye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gee. Would that not be damp though, Dennis?
Ah, it was damp, surely. They were making the blocks on nail too. They were making them with salt water.
Where were they making them, Dennis?
In the Isle, in the Isle and Roy.
Right. And the salt water, like, it would have to be damp.
Well, the galvan and everything were taken off the shore anyway, so there was salt on them.
And what about then plastering? Did you take that on, Dennis? Did you do?
Hmm?
Did you do plastering and all that?
I did a bit of plastering as well.
Were you using muck of sand, I suppose?
No, at the beginning the sand was we got it down the shore down we down a dewy, mixed with the sand that's here, like the sandy hills, what we call the rabbit sand. Just mixed the two together, was making a good enough plastering. Good enough for plastering.
And what about the windows then, Dennis? Like, where were they being made? Like, were they made locally here, you know, when a contractor took on the building of a house, would he buy the wood the one does locally, like that?
Not in my time, no. I don't know where they've been made. There were some joineries making them somewhere.
Mostly red deal that would have been, Dennis.
Aye. Red deal at the time, it didn't last very long. It only lasted 7 or 8 years, and then it replaced again.
They wouldn't make that 10 years even.
No.
They start to rot.
Well, it's had steel wonders around as well. There were steel wonders being made. But it wasn't all that great. Some of them were very bad, some of them rusted and very little, you know, no time, short time.
They weren't a success either, no?
Yeah.
No. So you spent 50 years at the building trade, Dennis?
I spent the most of 50 years, aye. 50 years.
Seen you back. And you saw people coming back from Scotland and England, and the building then really took off in the 70s, didn't it? Like around here in Downing's and...
The man that started the building boom here in Downing's was a man named John Bowen. He was just across the road there, where the Bradley's are there now. He had a shop and he used to keep, he was a builder of suppliers and all. He started buying sites and selling sites and another builder. I'd been there where he owned the 1960s, I suppose. He started off the holiday homes.
Yeah. But he must have bought a lot of land, like, or did he just build them and you know?
Selling sites. A site at that time, I think, was around about £500 or something for a site.
So people started coming from everywhere and buying up the land and...
Well, it's only this last 12 or 13 years since all this... buildings, all them, most of all them houses you see around here, they were built.
But it's ruined the landscape, Dennis.
Oh, it's ruined the landscape. And then the sewerage system and the water supplies and everything, you know, the water's not so bad now because they had about an extra pipe from Kerrygarth down. Well, the supply that used to go dry every Easter when the rush would come on, there was water would run out about in the middle of the day on Saturday.
How much would it cost? You know, when you started building to build a house, Dennis, like it's, you see a drastic change in the cost of building material and so on, like.
I think one of the council houses way back when I started first was about £1,100 or something. But then there were no bathroom in them or anything. But
no, but still though, when you think of the change of the cost and...
Yeah. I don't know if they were built on their own land or not.
Yeah, but still though, even £1,100.
Yeah.
Then into the 70s, you would build one, I suppose, for a few thousand, like a 3-bedroom house, wouldn't you?
Aye, about 3,000 or something, about in the early 70s or late 60s.
And then into the 80s and so on, it just took off.
Aye.
Dennis, You're Sweeney, you must be related to the Sweeneys of Doncastle, would you be, Dennis?
Well, I'd probably go back that far, or was that 400 years since we were out of here, Doncastle.
Yeah, but you're a descendant of the castle, like?
Very likely.
Yeah.
The Sweeney clan from the clan, anyway. It wouldn't be the Fannad. So some of the Sweeneys around here, they'll be the Fannad clan.
Right. But the Sweeneys of Dole came from Scotland, didn't they?
Aye, they were all supposed to come from Scotland. They were all supposed to originate in Norway.
Yeah.
At some stage. They came to Scotland, and then they came from Scotland here. They're supposed to come over with... They was over with some of the Edward Bruce or somebody or other.
Yeah.
But they were here before that. Then they were put out again. They landed in Fannard and they were put back out of Fannard. But they must have come back. They must have come back again.
And who was the chief?
Breslin was the chief of Fannard.
Breslin?
He was the name of Breslin.
Right. Never heard it.
He was the chief of Fannard. The Sweeneys killed him. Would it be in the Bishop's Palace in Ruffo or somewhere? So they took over then, the chief, and the Boyles were the chief of Doe.
Yeah. Tarlaug O'Boyle.
Tarlaug O'Boyle.
You've heard a lot of stories.
So the Sweeneys put the Boyles out as well.
The Sweeneys put them out?
Aye.
Yeah.
But I don't know when the Doe Castle was built. Nobody seems to know when it was built. Mm. Or who built it.
It wouldn't have been the McSweeneys then.
Hmm?
It wouldn't have been the McSweeneys who built it.
Well, they must have some sort of a castle in it.
Yeah. I don't know the history now either, but I'd love to. But who was the first chieftain of the McSweeneys, you said, in Doe?
It was Donoghue Mór.
Donoghue Mór.
He's the first chief of Doe. But then there were chieftains every other tournament because they would be getting killed and they were in jail and they were whatever, they were held prisoner or whatever. Different clans.
You've heard good stories about Tarlaug or Milmuyen Watawee as well, haven't you?
And there's a song about it there. Yeah. Paddy Quillen sings it.
Oh, you sang it for me. Tarlaug O'Boyle, and he wanted to marry Milmuyen's Watawee's daughter, Eileen.
But it's only about the song, I think, this is because Tarlaug O'Boyle was living later years. They were supposed to put him into the dungeon and kill him.
Yeah, it's claimed that he did,
The daughter was supposed to jump from the tower.
Yeah, that is the story,
That's the story. But apparently, Tarlaug was still living a year later. The boys and the Sweeneys, they fought battles over that. And then we were put out then, and Murmurra and Bantabee, he kind of sided with the English, and they made him Sir Miles McSweeney. So the natives didn't like that, called him the Bantabee. The Bantabee must have been a symbol of the yellow stick, must have been a symbol of the British crown or something.
Was
like
that so?
Must have been when they made him Sir Miles McSweeney. But then they put out with him again, then they put him out there, and he was a Captain Sandford or something was living there in the old castle then for a while.
They evicted the McSweeneys though?
Aye. Up out of the old castle. That'd be on the plantation in Ulster about in 1607.
Yeah.
Or 8 or whatever.
And who took over in the castle then? Who took over the castle then?
I think it was a Captain Sandford or something his name was that was there for a while. Now I don't know who was in it after that, but the Sweeneys were back in it again because there was another revolution then in 1642 or something. And some of the Sweeneys went back in again for a while.
They fought their way back then?
They fought their way back in again. So then they were put out again. But I reckon, by 1800 there was man the name of heart loving there. His initials are above an entrance or a doorway there. He could have built on parts of it. That would be 1800, that would be 200 years later.
But it's fairly in good enough order now, isn't it?
Aye, well, they did fix it up there a few years ago there, some kind of a Sweeney clan meeting there every...
That's right, Sweeney reunion.
Every couple of years or something. Yeah.
But you can't just go into it any day, like, sure you can't. I think the gates are closed, would that be so?
I don't know, I think the house beside it, they have a key to
have
it.
Have a key to it, Jim.
I think they're the name of Boyle too.
They're rivals. I must call over someday then on my way home. Dennis, you have good old stories, and I'm trying to pick up the pieces from everyone has their own wee bit to add, but the landlord here was Lord Leitrim, and he was kind of evil.
Oh, the third Earl.
Yeah. He evicted a
lot. They originally came from England. They were the name of Clements. And they arrived in Ireland, I suppose, when some of the British armies, or I don't know what it was, Cromwell or some of them armies, anyway, the Army of the Commonwealth, whatever that army was, I don't know. So then the part then was supposed to they had no land or no money to give them, so they were granted land. So they were granted estates in County Kildare, and I don't know whether any in Offaly or Leitrim.
So it was a way of paying the soldiers?
Yeah,
like
a way of paying the they're mercenaries, they were just soldiers of fortune, just.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what they must have come around, but it was 1640 or thereabouts. But the land around here was granted to a man, he was Bingley, he was Sir Ralph Bingley. I don't know where he came from, but I don't think he ever came to live in this part of the world anyway. But he must have sold some of the land then to... He was the name of Vaughan, he was John Vaughan, or what it was, Sir John Vaughan. And he got the land around here, the Mulroy estate or Mulroy town land, and he lived there. Whatever amount of land, he bought all the land then. Of other boys that was selling, well, the boys went bankrupt or something, and they were selling the land. So he had a daughter then, and she got married to a man named Hamilton. It was Hamilton. He was supposed to be a great grandson of King James I of Scotland. You see. So. He eventually got to be Lord Boyne, but he fought with King William or somebody, because the first one of the regiments had crossed the Shannon. He got the title then Lord Boyne. He built a house, a castle over there. Lord Boyne, what they call Lord Boyne's castle. It was only just the wall steps in it now. The sand blew in and covered it up.
But you'd see the mound, like there's nothing to be, there's nothing much, no stones to be seen around.
Oh, there's a sort of a, just like a foundation of a house, or, you know, right. The square, and all. It would be just a big house, it wasn't a castle or anything. Yeah. And there's a story below that, you don't see it because it's covered with sand. So, he went back up then or something or other, and these Clements, they bought the land. That was in 1743. Clements bought the estate. So they were then eventually got to be Lord Leitrim. These Clements, they had estates in County Leitrim. There's a town in County Leitrim there named after the Vaughan. or not Vaughan, but Hamilton. Manor Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
And the Litton Estate, they're still there, so I think it's a national park now, Loch Run. But the third Earl, he was trying to, I don't know what he was trying to, and then James, they all lived in villages. You know, the houses were all in clusters. And the land, whatever land they had, arable, it was sort of what they call rundale.
Yeah, divided.
Divided up into small bits. Because the land would be subdivided down in such a way that it was no good to them.
No, people were going poorer and poorer.
Getting poorer and poorer.
Divisions.
So he thought he would give everybody as much land as would keep them living, and the rest then had to be evicted. They had to be put out or whatever, probably put some of them to America or whatever. But they weren't pleased with that, at least the management wasn't pleased with that anyway. So they eventually killed him. We laid him up a bit. Cratla Wood, or it wasn't Cratla, it was in town land of Wood Co-Arthur.
Yeah. But you have the history of that, Dennis. Hmm? You have the history of all of that. They made a plan to kill him, didn't they? And
well, I reckon it was there were some sort of organisations going on to take the Fenians and the Ribbon Men and all that. Mm. There were some of them that were supposed to draw straws or something to see who would. You would kill him in a house over in Fannett. But there were three or four attempts on him first before they got him.
So they came across in a boat from Fannett, like, and
They came across to this side to Dividend Rea Point with a boat, and then they got another boat and they went back again. Then they left the original boat back in Fannett. Then they went up the bay then. To Wood Co-Arthur, a place in there, just a sort of a hole in the road when they were going in with the horse was going to have to slow down to go up on the other side of the. So they killed him anyway. Changed the landlord system anyway. Changed the course of Irish history.
Yeah. But can you name them? There were three fellas, weren't there? That day.
There were three.
Yeah.
There was a man named Maherity, and there was a Shields and a Michael Wee. They put up a memorial to them down at Infanet on the round down at Kendrum. At a cross, memorial cross with an inscription on it with the Patriots or something like that.
Yeah, but he wore, Lord Leighton wore a vest, a bulletproof vest, and they weren't able to shoot him, is that the case?
I think he was shot in the arm and the shoulder, but I suppose he said there were muscle loaders they had, only fired the one shot anyway.
Yeah.
So once they fired the gun was useless then, so he grabbed one of them with the hair. So the other fellow came to his assistance and hit him with the butt of the gun and killed him. Hit him and broke his skull.
That's the blow that killed
him. That's the blow that killed him. But for some reason there was never anybody charged with his murder. Well, they had one man locked up. Heraty was locked up, but Heraty had nothing to do with the killing. Because he was sent off on lookout.
But he was made a scapegoat, or he was blamed for the killing?
Well, he was there, but they arrested him anyway. Well, they were going to be able to prove it. Well, he was there. But the other two went across in a boat to Fannett, and he had to walk down from Cratland down to Tirlahan.
Yeah.
and then get across on the ferry boat, then across to Fannett. So they had him arrested anyway, and they both died in jail. But so nobody ever charged, nobody of the rest of them was ever charged with the murder. They arrested four or five of them, but they never could prove anything against them.
But Herity was he died in jail?
He was supposed to die in jail.
Was he in jail in Lifford?
Aye.
Yeah. But you have other stories about Lord Leitrim. He was kind of evil, wasn't he? Like he abused girls and
Well, they were going to say that anyway, but whether it was true or not, I don't know.
But he had evicted a lot of people out of their lands in Malmore down that direction.
Aye, Malmore.
Yeah.
Aye, well, I don't know whether there were many people ever lived down there, but there's a house, he built a shepherd's house down there. It was still there, belonged to the Brogans. He built it for a shepherd, for the sheep in it, whether it was more or not. Well, but you see, down that part of the world anyway, I don't know whether Lord Leitrim, well, he must have had land down there, all right, but that was mostly all glebe land.
Right.
It belonged to they paid the rent to the church. To the Church of Ireland.
Yeah, Protestant community to stay on that side, yeah.
See, glebe and Tontalla and all that, that was all glebe land. I don't know whether Melmore was or not now.
Have you heard of stories of people evicted in your own area of Carrigart, Dennis?
No, I don't hear tell them anybody been evicted where we were there anyway, but see, they were clusters of houses the way they were built, but then he scattered all them houses where we come from. There were about five or six houses in it, all in a cluster, but then he must have just divided up the land and they all moved out, whatever. Well, some of them bought land or were granted land other places, and some of them probably went to America or something like that.
He was the third Earl of Leitrim.
He was the third Earl, the mother was killed. The fourth Earl then, he came in then, it was him that got the Rosapenna. Well, he died before the Rosapenna was built. But then I think the mother or somebody must have got the job finished then.
When was the Rosapenna built, the hotel?
Well, the hotel?
Yeah.
I suppose it was in the 1890s or some time. Right.
Did you work on the hotel, Dennis?
In the Rosapenna?
Yeah.
No, I never worked in the Rosapenna. No. I worked in all the rest of the hotels, but I was never in the Rosapenna. The old Rosapenna was a wooden construction.
Was it?
Most of it.
Yeah.
Timber was taken in from Sweden or somewhere. It was built in. It was a golf course, and that was fixed at the same time. Oh, they used to come, lords and ladies and all that came to it.
All the noble people came. All the noble keep people.
Yeah. You remember that when the Second World War, there no petrol. I had a sort of what they call a wagonette, two horses. You used to drive them up on a Sunday up to the church in Carrigart.
So supplied by the Rosapenna Hotel?
Hmm?
Supplied by the Rosapenna Hotel?
Aye, well, yeah, aye.
Yeah.
They were there up to Carrigart.
How was it, Dennis, that you moved from Carrigart to Downings?
I was pressure left. I mean, down into Van Herod.
Left by your auntie or
aye. Aye.
So who's who lives in your old home now, Dennis? Or
no, there's nobody there now.
There's nobody there.
Yeah. And oh, we went to school and got in the brand, and we carried the turf under the arm up to go in the brand. When we got in the end, there was no benefit to it because we were all that far away from the fire anyway. There was no use. The schoolmaster sat with his back to the fire.
How far was the school from you?
Yeah.
How far away was the school?
A mile and a half or something, about a mile and a half.
And who was the teacher there, Dennis?
Well, before I went there, she was a Mr. Boyce, which originally came from over from, I think, from Burton Porter, McIntyre, I think, originally, which I married a man from Carrigart area, Johnny Boyce. Well, there was a teacher then, he was McFadden. I think he came from, or he was Teague McFadden, he moved from Glenties, or he died, and then this other teacher, he was teaching first in Derry Harrison, and he moved to Gosnabrad then in 1941. It was Tom McGinley, and he hammered, he was rough. Aye.
Is he the one you had, Dennis?
Aye.
You must have hated school, then.
Hmm?
You must have hated going to school, Dennis.
Oh, you did, surely. You dreaded going to school. Aye. Oh, because you were going to get hammered for something, and your mother wanted it, but you were going to get hammered for it.
For no reason?
Oh, just for the very little.
It was a cruel world. Cruel way they had some of the teachers, wasn't it?
Aye, well, I suppose they're too far the other way now.
Yeah.
They say you've got to keep discipline anyway.
Yeah.
But that's not happening now.
There's no control.
No. But they were control them times. Regimental.
But then there was very little for people, like they had to emigrate after national school or primary school. You were just left at 14. There was very, very few went for education. You know, the money wasn't there, maybe.
No, well, I suppose the brighter ones, the 5% that were brighter, I suppose they probably got on to go on to maybe on to secondary school or something like that. The passing it was, so they had to go through an exam or whatever it was, preparatory or something,
yeah.
And then went on to went with a Galway. And my brother, he went to Galway for 4 years and then whatever he trained then, and what did they call the place in Dublin?
Training school?
No, not Kerry, but St. Patrick's or something.
St. Pat's, yeah. He did well then.
Hmm?
He did fine for himself.
Aye, went away down to the Midlands and met a woman down there, so he had to stay.
So he was anchored there. Oh, Dennis, you give me a lot of stories today. You have a wealth of knowledge on the landlords and...
Oh, well, I don't know.
Oh, you give a lot of detail there, know. Like, you know. There were bad agents then as well, weren't there, Dennis? Like, agents...
Well, everybody, I suppose, depending on what side you're on, you see, what's your point of view, I suppose, they were reckoned to be bad anyway, I suppose they were going to tramp on somebody's toes anyway. Couldn't please everybody, they didn't try to please anybody.
Well, Dennis, you call in here to this place often, do you, to pass the time, resource centre here in Downings? You come in here weekly?
Well, we come here every Tuesday night.
Yeah. And you meet up with friends and...
Meet up with the rest of the...
Yeah.
The locals.
But it's a great centre, like, isn't it? Like, in, it's a great place, the centre, this resource centre here is built.
Aye. Funding was a problem with them, see. Yeah. Whatever was going to happen now, there was no funds. Well, they made a few euros in that film that was made, which I suppose is keeping them going for now, anyway. But they could close down any time. That's been a bit of more funds coming, I suppose.
Well, Dennis, we leave it there, and that woman was very, very mannerly, and she allowed us to come in and record. So that woman, Marietta, was that her name?
Aye.
She was very pleasant and allowed us to get this room for an hour or less. And maybe we'll finish off here now, Dennis.
Well, aye.
Okay. Right, thanks very much for your time, Dennis, and your help. Good night.
I don't know if I told you anything yet.
Oh, you did.